This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to my breakdown, recap, review, and insights about Dr. Dennis DePasquale's conversations that we had for the show. This is episode 604 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name again is Jason Cutter. So glad that you're here. Had a great conversation with Dr. Dennis DePasquale. Lots of great information. He's a fascinating guy. I love his background, just like all the guests on the show. And I know I say that about everyone, but I truly mean it because everyone is so different. In fact, I have intro conversations with people before we schedule a recording. Part of it is just to lay out the show and how the process works. Part of it on my side is, do I like this person? What are their insights? Are we going to have a fun conversation? Do they want to do the show? And just one of those things. And I've had it a few times where people say, well, I know that you're interviewing and chatting with other professors, and I don't know if I have anything new to add. And each and every time, it's so fascinating and fun because everyone has a different perspective before they got into sales and education and academia. And then since then, what they focus on and the stuff that they say just truly excites me every single time. I take so many notes because the things that each one of these people say is stuff that I believe in. I agree. And, you know, I don't have this show so I can bring people on so I can just debate and argue with them because I think they're wrong. I'm bringing people on, obviously, because I do appreciate their point of view and I want to learn more. So I'm not just like trying to just fill this with people that I like. It's just working out that way that the people who respond about being on the podcast are the open-minded people who want to be on a podcast, and they're open-minded because they're focusing on things and they want to share that with others. Just so you know, super side note, I reach out to a lot of professors and a lot of them do not respond or say, no, I don't want to do your podcast, or we only work with corporate partners and stuff like that. So there is some interesting bias towards the ones who are open and excited to come on a podcast are the ones who are also looking at sales a little bit differently. I don't know what's happening in those other universities. I'm a little worried to think about what they might be doing if they're so close-minded they don't want to come on a podcast. But again, that's a topic for another conversation. So each one of these people, I'm so excited. So when we talk about Dr. D in part one, which is about authenticity, one thing he said right out of the gate was, you can't build an inauthentic relationship for the long term. Which means if you're selling something that is a long-term interaction, right? Whether it's a long sales cycle or you're part of the beginning of the process of somebody in their journey, which means you sell, they become a customer, and then that's the beginning of the service that's being provided, or the tool, or the technology, or the product, or whatever it is. And in the last summary that I did when I was talking about Joe, is that, you know, if I buy a car, that salesperson finished their job there with me driving off the lot, but it's the beginning of my relationship with that brand, with that car, with that, you know, dealership, right? So that's just the beginning. And if you start it with a inauthentic relationship, which is the thing that I think a lot of people dislike about salespeople, is that they're inauthentic. They're motivated by themselves. They're playing the part of salesperson. They're pretending to be something because they think that's what it takes. You can't build a long-term relationship, just like you can't if you try to be inauthentic in a romantic relationship. It's not going to work. At some point, you're not going to be able to keep up the act, and it's going to fall apart in a very bad way. Again, salespeople keep doing that, and I don't know why. And so if this resonates with you, please stop. That's it. Just stop building inauthentic relationships. Stop, you know, if you don't care about other people, then find a different career, because sales is going to be difficult, because you're never going to be able to maintain a long-term relationship with someone when you base it on being inauthentic and not caring and only caring about yourself, right? You just can't. And again, you might think, oh, I could close some deals. This is easy, right? I can sell, you know, sand in the desert to people who don't need it because I'm that good. It's like, but that's the beginning of the relationship, and that's not good. All right. Next, he talked about there's three sales that occur: selling yourself, your company, and your product. And I think what's interesting is if we look at the model that I've built, which is called the Authentic Persuasion Pathway. And if you want to find out more about that, you can always go to the website, cutterconsultinggroup.com. It's a great model that I have created, and perfected relative to what you're up against in sales, which is that consumer, that buyer, business to business or business to consumer, it doesn't matter because it's all H to H, is that they're in their comfort zone and they're scared. You need to move them out of their comfort zone, which is change, and that's them becoming a customer. And the first part is that they have to understand you, and you have to build, use rapport, and then use empathy to get trust. And that's all about yourself, but doing it in a way that's all about them, which is like a tricky paradox of how you do that. Again, this quote is so true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, which is you. That's the part that matters first, is the you part with them and them knowing that you care about them. Then comes the company, right? Then you talk about your company and sell your company. And then the product is, okay, so here's the solution I have for you. And if we look at a doctor's appointment, the doctor comes in, they're a professional, you understand them, you set an appointment, you know they're a doctor. They don't have to justify it as much. But usually what happens is they're building the relationship with you during the exam. That's why they have a good bedside manner. And we all know what it's like when people, doctors don't have a good bedside manner because it feels terrible, like they don't care. So it's the same thing with sales. And then what happens is they get to the point where they talk about their credentials because they've identified what your problem is. And they say, okay, you have this. Here's why I'm the best because of this, this, and this. And then their product is the remedy, whatever it is for you. And so that's the same model. And that's what I've built all of my models around. Dr. D also talked about, you know, building genuine relationships. Customers are going to want to use you if you have a genuine relationship. Now, this is interesting. And I talked about this in the previous summary about Joe, is that he's talking about people don't want relationships, right? They don't want a transaction. They don't want relationships. And I think that's a difference in philosophy between these two people, right? Which one is relational and which one is more transactional or more business, maybe not transactional. And so that's why I love having different people on the show, because you can kind of hear their perspective and obviously what resonates with you. The one thing I love, and we were talking about authenticity and what he sees with his students and how you teach them to be authentic and embrace that and to really leverage that, is his goal is to increase their intolerance to bad salespeople. Because that's really the thing, right? Is once more and more people have an absolute intolerance for bad salespeople and bad service, then what happens is people vote with their dollars and they stop encouraging or supporting those bad salespeople and those bad companies with bad service. For example, you walk into a restaurant, the restaurant is just like understaffed or terrible service, or nobody cares and nobody's nice. You know, if you've ever gone to a restaurant where you're like standing at the host station to be seated and literally no one's coming over, but you can see people hanging out working. It's not that they're busy. It's that they literally don't care. If you've ever done that and then turned out around and said, I don't want to eat here. Like, they obviously don't care. That's what needs to happen more, right? People need to have an increase in tolerance for bad service and sales. That's the way it changes, because when we vote with our dollars. And then he said, I asked him, what gets in the way of salespeople being authentic? Entitlement. They feel like I'm who I am and I know what I know and you need me, and so I can just be however I want to be, right? Or I can just play this part. And of course, that's the issue. All right, part two, we talk about the persuasion sales process. His big thing is to focus on insight selling, is how do I sell insight? So a little bit different than the challenger sale, but slight, you know, kind of focus on that. But it's really about insight selling and value add, and then actually helping. So providing some insights. I think the challenger sale is good, except when the challenger sale is like, all right, you are here. Here's some piece of information. Here's something you didn't think about. I'm going to challenge the way you think. And then that's going to build value and trust. And then that's why you need me to help over here, right? Like, that's the super basic version. Versus what Dr. D is talking about with insight selling, which is, I'm going to add value to you, and then I'm actually going to help you, and that's going to give you some insights, and then we're going to move forward. Right. He also talked about having sales conversations that aren't just about sales, right? And this is a big thing. Don't listen just to understand, but to actually listen. and to leverage empathy and to be curious, which if anyone knows me, those are the big things for me. Empathy is a main part of the authentic persuasion pathway. And then in my five sales success traits, the first one is openness and the second one is curiosity. And so when you have that, even some combination of those, you'll be light years ahead of most people in sales. All right. Get into the third part, which is the future of sales. What do buyers want more of? Well, what they don't want, he said, was stress. And what they do want is they want things to be easy. They want less friction. They want a salesperson to do their research and not be lazy, right? They want salespeople who understand their customer's business. Somebody who understands it. And that's the big thing, right? Is I tell everybody that you should pretty much expect that your potential customer that you're talking to has already researched you, your company, and or your solution. So if you have a different sales model, or maybe you're selling business to consumer, somebody's calling about insurance, assume that they've done some research, right? Now, obviously, you want to educate them, but at what point do they know things and the playing field is level of information and knowledge? When you get into more business-to-business sales, advanced, higher ticket, people are definitely doing research. If you're cold calling, they might not be doing their research, but between the cold call and then the next appointment, the discovery, the demo, whatever that looks like, they're going to do some research. Just assume that. And what's interesting is on the flip side, because I hadn't thought about this until Dr. D mentioned it, is that the customers are expecting you to do the same thing. You want them to buy from you. If they realize that, like you're coming to them because you want to sell them something, if it's a good fit, they want you to do your work. Don't be lazy, right? Do the research, understand their business, be able to come to them with something about their business, their industry, understanding it. If you're, again, this is not necessarily the challenger sale mode, but at least understand how their business works, what their metrics are, what their kind of dynamics are. If you're calling people or getting into a discovery meeting and asking basic things about their business that you should know about a whole industry, they're going to tune you out. They're going to feel like you're lazy. They're going to want you to go try it again. Similar, like I'm just thinking of examples. If you have kids, especially kids that are older, you know, like say 10 years and older, and they're doing homework and they come to you and say, I don't know how to do this homework. It's like, okay, well, did you try? Well, no, I didn't try. Okay, did you read the assignment? No. Did you practice at all? Like, did you read the book? No, I just don't know how to do it. It's like, no, most people, at least I'll speak for myself. It's like, no, go read the assignment, go do the stuff that you're supposed to do. And if you still don't get it, come to me, right? Like, don't just think I'm just going to do your homework for you. And same thing with this. A lot of lazy salespeople just think the buyer is going to do their homework for them by educating them about their business. And that's terrible. You're not going to win at that mode. And then what was interesting is we got into a little bit different talking about apprenticeships and shadowing and different stuff like that. And he talked about shadowing with that person, that salesperson, finding their own person. So I have a lot of concerns when it comes to shadowing, because you basically, that's the act of taking someone who's usually new or struggling and then linking them up with someone who is more advanced, and then just basically having them follow or listen or see what they're doing that's making them successful and hoping that's going to rub off. The downside is A, everyone has a style. B, people who are usually successful are not following the playbook and the process, even though I wish they would, but they don't, because they've gotten to a point where they just know what to do and it works for them and they put in the effort. That's not a good model for other people who are struggling, because you want them to follow the playbook, and that other seasoned, experienced person is most likely not. And then also, here's the challenge with shadowing, is that every single person I've ever met, they like some things and they dislike some things. Some of them love using the CRM and have spreadsheets and have tracking. but dislike this thing over here. Some salespeople, they really like having the conversations, but they don't ever put their notes in the CRM. They don't track anything. They don't really care, right? Or they like these kind of leads and they don't like these other leads. They like this part of the company in the process, but they don't like this. And so when you're doing shadowing, you're getting all of it. You're going to get their positives and their negative feelings about things. And so you always want to be careful with that, because that can lead to somebody teaching somebody else their bad habits. And that's, you got to be careful against about that. And then, you know, we got to the future of sales, the technology piece, the what do you think is going to happen with technology, and is it going to replace salespeople? His answer, which I love, it's going to replace bad salespeople. And I think that's fundamentally true. I think if you're bad at something, no matter what it is, then at some point technology will catch up and pass your bad level of skill. And I'm not just talking about salespeople. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to trigger anything. It's really about anybody who's not good at something, technology will replace them, right? Like if you're a bad writer, technology is out there that can be a better writer than you. Let's say you work for a company and you're just terrible at it and you're not a good writer. The company will replace you. They can buy some tools and technologies that make it way better and get better results than what you're doing at a substandard bad level. And it could go for anything, right? Like that, it doesn't matter. And so his point, which I love, is that technology will replace bad salespeople. But what it's going to do is it's going to empower the rest. And it's going to provide digital assistance, as he said, for everyone else to help them do what they do even better. So, all right, that's it for this episode. I'm so glad that you tuned in. Hopefully you got some nuggets from this. Make sure, as always, to check out the three conversations that I had with Dr. D. They were building genuine relationships, focusing on insight selling, and how to not get replaced by technology. Thanks again for being here, being a part of this. Make sure to subscribe everywhere, anywhere. You can find the podcast, the videos, my content on LinkedIn. Go to the Cutter Consulting Group website, find some of the eBooks that are on there. If you don't have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, message me. We'll work out a deal, and I will send you an autographed copy. Please keep focusing on getting better at sales, improving the way you sell, leveraging authentic persuasion, doing things in a different way so that you know that sales is service and you're helping that person you're dealing with. And as always, thank you for being here. And thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.